Amen to that song. You know, one thing just on what Brother Scott was talking about, I don't know that. I don't know that I would say it's so much by guile he catches us as the fact that usually he catches us when we're in kind of a bad spot, and we think the only problem is the bad spot. Then we find out, because what have we been talking about this week? We need to die unto ourselves. So what happens is we find out there's a whole lot of dying out there that has to go on that we did not realize up front. And we did not realize the depths of our depravity. I still remember kind of, and I chuckled to myself, I won't go back through it, but I remember the day I met the Lord, maybe it was the day after. Ann was there and Robin was there, and I'm like in the kitchen over there in that farmhouse just confessing all my sins. I'm just confessing them all. I'm throwing them all out there. And it was weird. This took place for quite a long time. And I think to the point where my sister was beginning to look at me, and there was one she was particularly concerned about, which I won't go into right now, which thankfully was not the case, but it could easily have been. But all of a sudden she thought that she was no longer the worst child after she listened to me. But the thing was, is I, you know, when I look back, the reason why I chuckle now is because I chuckle now because, I mean, there was a lot. I mean, there was a lot that was laid out on that table that day. Many courses of meals for a long time. But I hadn't even hit the tip of the iceberg yet. And that's the part I was completely ignorant of. I had no idea the literal depths of my own depravity. And, you know, the Lord in his grace to us is, he doesn't make us deal with it all instantaneously. And it's kind of an unfolding story as we do it. And, you know, that's why, you know, where he says, you know, the Lord chasteneth them whom he loveth. See, we don't want to get to a place where we despise that. I mean, it is a reality and it is an unfolding story. And as we learn about it, it certainly doesn't make us feel good about ourselves, right? I mean, it has the exact opposite effect. It makes us feel horrible about ourselves. But the whole purpose of it is to turn our hope from being in ourselves to being on him. And, you know, that better than you can imagine, that is the truth. That is the truth. And that better than you can imagine is because really what it comes down to is because we really don't know him as we ought to know him, as he wants us to know him. And I forget what the first song, what's the name of the first song you guys played today? Yeah, there's what a great name for a song. I Want to Know You. No wonder I thought it had to do with this subject, right? Go figure. Praise God. I want to know you. See, Bob was talking about how I think everybody wants, you know, to be with the Lord or what have you. People want it, but they don't weigh the cost. What Scott was talking a lot about was the cost. You end up finding out about yourself things you never really wanted to know, truth be told. There's that saying, ignorance is bliss. Before you knew all that about yourself, you could be pretty pleased with yourself and pretty judgmental of others. But the more you come to know yourself, your judgment of others disappears. It disappears because you see that, oh my God, you know, not only am I the pot calling the kettle black, it's actually worse than that. Their things don't seem to be nearly as bad as your things. And you know what happens is then it's a lot easier to extend grace. It's a lot easier to have mercy to one another. It's a lot easier to love one another. And so that process, which can, yes, be painful at times, actually works a far more important work in each of our hearts and minds. And one of the things you have to come to over time is you have to come to realize that that's what you want. You want that thing that God is doing in you to be completed. You value that above every other thing. And what happens as you do that, the Lord's able to accelerate you through the process. He's able to accelerate it through you, and it becomes less painful because you're glad to be shed of that stuff. You're actually glad it came up. I mean, not in the instant, don't get me wrong. It's not like in the instant it changes and all of a sudden you're like glad, but you can very quickly turn that thing, which is kind of an offense, into a gladness because you're like, you know, they're right. Why do I want to hang on to that? I don't want to hang on to that. That sucks. And so you give it up. You go into your closet and you get on your knees and you go, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want any part of that. And as we do that, the song we just sang begins to come to pass. More of you in my life. All of a sudden you're opened up and more of the Lord gets to come in and be a part of your life and minister through you unto others. And then we're in that place where we begin to partake of his divine nature. People don't need to be partakers of our nature. They don't need what we've got to offer. They need what God has to offer. And the quicker we get that in mind and forget about giving them what we think we have and get to the place where I don't want to give them anything I have. What did Paul say? He determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Jesus Christ and him crucified is every good thing that man needs. Nothing lacking. It's got absolutely everything, folks. You know, there's nobody you're ever going to come across whose problems aren't solved by Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. So you don't need a PhD. You don't need a PhD to do it. Anybody can do it. This nation and the churches in this nation once knew that. Now they value the other, the PhDs and the masters and the bachelors and things like that. They don't value a person who's a sinner saved by grace, who loves their Lord and is willing to share the same love he's extended unto them with others. That's what the world needs. Not a bunch of people with degrees behind their names. And look, we've talked this week about being family. I don't know about you, but I mean, I think, well, all of us by definition have family because we were born. That means we had a mommy and a daddy. We might have a brother and a sister. We might have an aunt and uncle. We might have a child or a grandchild. We're all family. Now, I don't know about you, but looking out at family, sometimes I'm more pleased with one member of my family than another from time to time. Does that ever happen? Absolutely it happens. Happens in the family of God, too. But underneath it all, foundationally, we're all family, folks. There's nobody here who is rejected. There's nobody here who's not welcome. There's nobody here who's not loved. There's nobody here who, I know for myself, and I believe I can speak for the people here, who I don't wish the absolute best for. The absolute best. Best that Christ has for each and every one of you. Nothing lacking. Absolutely nothing lacking. And if I may be hard on you from time to time and say things you don't find so pleasing, it's actually to that end that what it will yield is that peaceable fruit of righteousness. And the peaceableness is that you will not be fighting with God. And righteousness is that place where you become one with Him. So that when you're one with God and you're out there in the world, what you're showing people, whether they know it or not, is you are showing people Jesus. You are showing them who He is, what He's about, what His salvation is about. And it's funny because as you do this, people think you're like some kind of different being who's not been touched with the same infirmities as they have. And usually you're looking at them thinking, oh my God, you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I was in far worse shape than you are when the Lord got a hold of me. And so there's no shame in sharing it with people. And you're not sharing it to lift yourself up or make yourself out to be the worst of all sinners and all the other things and stuff like that, which it sometimes seems people do in their testimony. Now, that's not what the purpose of it is at all. You don't just go around sharing this willy-nilly. You share it because in that instant, it's what the other person needs to hear. They need to hear and know what great things God has done for you, where He's brought you from, so that they can know that you know what you're talking about when you're saying to them, look, you don't have anything out here that's too big for Him. Nothing going on in your life that's too big for Him. Because that's what pride does, is it makes what's going on with you seem like too tall and nobody else has the same problem. Scripture makes it clear, nope, you and me and all of us are just beset with the same common sin that everybody else is beset with. There's no difference. And when you can get a handle on that, you can now have that hope that we have in Christ restored and blossom. I mean blossom into a beautiful, beautiful tree that people want to partake of. They want to partake the fruit of that tree because it's the tree of life. It's that tree of life that's springing up in you, Jesus. And that tree of life bears a good fruit. It's called love. And that good fruit, everybody can partake of. And as they partake of it, it opens them up to come to know Jesus because God is in it. And therefore they see that there's something different about what you have given to them than that which they've received from anybody else. And you aren't going to waste it on yourself, talking about you. You're going to point them to Jesus from whom it came. If you don't mind me mixing a metaphor for a moment, He is the vine, we are the branches. Right? And the fruit that they're partaking of, what supplies everything to bring forth that fruit, is Him, not us. And so you're pleased to give all the glory to Him. You're pleased to abase yourself before people. You're pleased to do these things that you might win some. You're pleased to stand firm and stand strong against those who would come in and do harm to others. Why? For their sakes. You're pleased to have people think evil of you and have all manner of wrong judgment of you and put motives and everything else on you. Why? because you're loved by him. And it's not you they're hating, it's him. And the very hate that they are having can actually turn to their salvation. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if you guys ever noticed this in the scripture. But you know, in the book of Acts, in the first few chapters, as you see them like beat Peter and John, and then they throw them into prison and stuff like that. And, you know, they're getting a hard time, right? They're getting a hard time. And you read later about how a great company of the priests had come to know the Lord. You know, many who were actually furious with Jesus, consenting unto his death, wanting to get rid of him and those like him, ended up ultimately being saved. See, if it's not about you, you can stand for others, regardless of what they think about you, or what they do to you, or what they're threatening to do to you. We need more of that kind of love, don't we? We need a lot more of that kind of love. We need it amongst ourselves. I mean, Gail, and forgive me for bringing something up, but I'm going to bring something up because I think Gail's not a problem with it. People have sometimes had a problem talking with Gail. That's not love on your part. It's not love on your part. Sometimes people have a problem talking with somebody in the ministry here. That's not love. That's hate, folks. That's loving yourself and hating your sister or brother. That stops. You understand me? I feel like I'm talking to my children right now as I say it. And forgive me for that kind of thing. Many of you are older than me, and I don't mean it in a down-putting way. What I mean it is, we can't have that. We can't have that, folks. The commandment of God is to love one another, to love one another as he hath loved us. That is the commandment of God. It's not my commandment. It's his. Look around you. The other night, Davey said, turn to somebody and say you love them in the name of Jesus. And then people kept going around. He said, I said to someone, you know, one person right next to you. Do it. Do it. Time is short for each of us. Time is short. Love one another. It does not matter what the other does to you. It does not matter the attitude that they may have against you. Love them. Love them. And let's love one another in wisdom. And in grace, and in mercy, not in condemnation. Let us do this. Let us not leave here as we were when we got here. Let us leave here with a determination that we are going to love one another. If we can learn to love one another, it will be easy to love those that are without. It'll be easy to step out and minister in compassion and mercy, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we can't love one another, you kid yourself to think you can go out and minister the love of God to those that are without. Think of it as your barometer. It's going to measure where you're standing. in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love one another. Amen.